Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 112. This is Jamie Russo. For those of you that are new to the show, I own a co-working space in Palo Alto, California. I'm the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and through my Everything Coworking brand, I use my broad industry experience to help people start and run co-working spaces that meet their personal and financial goals. For those of you listening, the week this is launched, it is the week of July 4th. I hope you're doing something fun with friends and family, barbecues, fireworks, all that good Americana stuff. I will be in upstate New York for a week of free camp on the farm. So wish me luck. Lots of good outdoor time, a questionable Wi-Fi signal, and a questionable cell phone signal. So I am recording this in advance to make sure it's all set up for you to listen to. Couple of quick announcements. Of course, the GWA conference, have to mention that. It's coming up in September. Grab your tickets. Amazing speakers, a full day of workshops to help you work on your business on Wednesday. The Ritz-Carlton is doing our keynote and a workshop for all attendees, two different slots of that. Breakouts, networking, all the good things. Definitely grab your ticket. And then getting closer, by the time this launches, I am working on a beta program for community managers. And I should mention too, at the conference this year, we are doing a community manager track. I don't think I've talked about that yet. So excited about that. Community managers can be the stars of our spaces. And so we are offering a track, also a workshop day for community managers. They can come for just the day or for the full conference. If they do just the day, it would be Wednesday so that they can get all the workshops in. And then at our opening happy hour Wednesday night, we are doing community manager awards. So if you are a GWA member, look out for that info in your email inbox. We will start taking nominations very shortly. And related to that and supporting community managers, it's a huge gap in our industry. I'm sure you guys have thought the same things. When you hire a community manager and you have to start from scratch on training, or you start your own space and you have to develop everything from scratch, of course there are things you're going to want to do your own way that are your brand's special sauce. But then there are lots of aspects of this role that can be trained. There's no reason for everyone to reinvent the wheel. So I'm creating a program to support community managers, whether they are brand new or trying to evolve in their role and make their way into potentially a GM role for multiple locations. So skills that they need, leadership styles that they need to learn, and of course, basic industry training for those that are brand new, and a peer support group with expert support in a moderated group so that they are not alone, especially for those that don't have a team with multiple locations or coworkers that they work with. It can be, I feel like you're on a little bit of an island sometimes. Of course you have members, but members can drain your energy sometimes. So having a group to get some ideas from, solve problems with, and celebrate a little bit with is important for all of us, especially our managers. So if you're interested in learning more about that, I'm starting a waitlist at www.everythingcoworking.com/community managers. Today, my very special guest is Hannah Walker of WorkHub Tyler. Super excited for her to share her story. Tyler is a special place in Texas, population about 100,000. So if you're in a smaller to medium-sized market, then you'll appreciate their story and the impact that they have on their community. They are just about to celebrate, well, at the time of this recording, we're ahead of it, but on June 27th, I think, they're having their one-year anniversary party, and they are going all out. We talk about that a little bit in the interview. So Hannah shares just some stories about their journey through launching the space, through getting through a year of being in business and some of the challenges, lessons learned. I think sometimes these are the best stories because if you're starting a new space, you're wondering, what does that feel like? What does that look like? And if you've already started a space, you can totally relate. And it's great to hear how other people are managing. So she shares lots of good stories and experiences. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Welcome to today's episode. I am thrilled to have Hannah Walker with me from Work Hub in Tyler, Texas. Hannah and her team were a part of the Coworking Startup School and are about to celebrate their one-year anniversary. By the way, Hannah, I got my fancy invitation in the mail this week, which was so awesome. Hannah, thank you for joining me today.
Yes, I'm so glad to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you tell your story because I think these are some of the favorite episodes when people starting spaces or running spaces hear from other people and what they're up to. So, well, tell us about you first. Tell us your role at Work Hub, and then we'll dive into all the details.
Great. Well, I'm the community operations manager, but as you know, in co-working, you basically do anything and everything
right,
to get
slash
done.
So,
like, that's
manager,
the official
slash.
Title, but
yeah.
But if there's a toilet that needs to be cleaned or unplugged, then you can call me too.
Right. And even, yes, more glamorous than the toilets. I mean, you were on the team from the very beginning and have done all the things.
All the things. Yeah, it's been great. So just to give you kind of a little bit of background, like kind of how I entered into this role, but the owner of Work Hub is also the owner of the company I was working for before Mentoring Minds. And Lisa, her and her husband came into ownership of this massive building. And she said, you know, I've got this idea for this co-working space. Would you be interested in coming, helping me launch it and run it? And I was like, yes, absolutely. And so that's kind of how I got into the co-working industry and world. And I'd never been part of a startup before. So this was a huge opportunity. And I was really excited that she asked me to join her in this really fun adventure.
Yeah. And you guys have a really unique space. So I want to talk about that in a minute. But so tell us a little bit more about Hannah Walker prior to Work Hub Tyler.
Background. Well, sure.
Are you from Tyler?
No, I'm not. I feel like I'm from Tyler now because I've been here
right.
since
I forget.
2005.
You've been everywhere. Yes. You have an interesting background that I always, overlook.
Well, I mean, I'm actually a missionary kid from Japan. My parents lived there for quite some time. I went over when I was 7 and I came back to the States when I was 18. Went to Stephen F. Austin University, then joined the Peace Corps and served in Bulgaria for a couple of years and wanted to keep working in nonprofits. So I came back to Texas and landed in Tyler thinking I would be here 1 year. And it's been now, I guess, way more than 1 year since 2005. And so I had a really strong nonprofit background and started working for Mentoring Minds, which is an education publisher, not nonprofit, but feels very missional in the sense that they're providing, you know, education for students and resources for teachers. So, yeah, so it's been a mix of like marketing background because I was doing marketing for Mentoring Minds and nonprofit program development background for nonprofits.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. So, and then you have, Hannah and I have something very special in common, which is that we both have golden doodles.
Not just golden doodles, miniature golden doodles.
That's true. The cutest, most adorable, sweetest, snuggliest kind. Although mine barfed this morning in the bed. I let my doodle sleep in the bed. Don't tell anyone. Yeah. And he did a lap. Well, I was like, how did all of the bedding get barf all over it? I had the moment of like, oh, I should not let him sleep in the bed. But, you know, as soon as I get this bedding cleaned, I'm going to forget about that. I need the snugglers.
You're so sweet. Sorry, you're sick. That's the worst.
Wait, and yours, how old is yours?
3 years.
3. And it's Miller, right?
Miller. He's named after the author Donald Miller, not to be confused with Miller Lite, because he was not named after that horrible beer.
Good. Very important distinction. Good to know. That's funny. Yes, mine are Miles and Louie, named after the jazz singers.
Hey, that's pretty clever.
Totally. Yeah, Louie is the one that barfed this morning, but we'll let that go. He's also, he has a stomach of steel. He eats chocolate all the time. I mean, if there's anything out for him to get into, he gets into it. So we're always like, that dog's going to, like, that's going to be the end of him. And I have no idea what he ate that was so disturbing. No chocolate that I know of. Anyway, on to our reason for being today. Okay, so you have a unique space. Let's talk about Tyler first. So Tyler's not a teeny town, but it's I'm looking on Google. As of 2017, it was 104,991. So, fairly small city. And I remember a conversation we had recently that it's a little bit spread out. Like, not everybody in town is driving to your space for a lunch meeting, for example.
No. Yeah. So Tyler is pretty unique. I feel like it's on the cusp of becoming one of the larger cities in Texas. It's growing rapidly. We have about 200,000 commuters that come into Tyler every day to work. So, like, our population might be small, but our actual traffic is fairly large. We've got hospitals and lots of lakes, and I think are probably ranked in the top 10 cities to retire in, just because retirements go much further here, and we've got lots of lakefront properties. So we have quite a few California, retirees that have come this way. So it's neat that we're starting to get more of a mix of the U.S. in our tiny East Texas area. But one of the things about Tyler that's most extraordinary than most is the fact that it's super philanthropic. Most people who've come through, like, if they're doing fundraising across America, tend to raise more money in Tyler, Texas than any other place, because we have lots of generous folk, mission-minded people in this community. And that was one of the things that actually struck me most about being in Tyler, is that, you know, even though it's a small town, they do really big things in the world and in the U.S. We have, like, Mercy Ships is not that far from us, and that's a global, medically based nonprofit, and lots of other fabulous organizations that are doing really big things in the world. So we're kind of lucky in that aspect.
Very cool. Again, did not know that. So, and then the space that you have is, maybe not everyone would have said what Lisa said, which is, we should try a co-working space here. Yes. I mean, it has had a happy, you know, we're not at the ending, but the story is going well. But
yes, very well.
Definitely a different type of space. So yeah, tell us about the origins and the layout of your location. Well, you have two locations.
Well,
so yeah, maybe talk about that and then focus on the unique one.
Well, we have one space is, and it's what was been so great about it, ended up being something that was where co-working is going, and we just happened, because of the space being what it was, got to be on the edge of where co-working wants to begin moving. And our space used to be a gym. It was a 42,000 square foot gym. And when we moved in, it offered a lot of, like, open possibilities for open co-working spaces, private offices, team suites. And so Lisa Lujan, this is all her vision. She was listening to a podcast called How I Built This, and she heard the story of WeWork.
Right.
And that's how she got the idea. She's like, oh my gosh, that's what we could be. And so she started researching like crazy, and even into the industry. And this is the thing that, like, really struck me about when she brought me on board, that resonated so well and is just part of Lisa's heart as well. She said, you know what? People are more isolated than ever. Mm-hmm. I want to create a space where people are known and what they do matters. And that right there brings, like, co-working to just, like, the forefront of what it can do and how it can serve communities. And that was a mission that we both wanted to get behind. And so she did all this incredible research and figured out a way, working with a builder and an interior designer and us just together, coming together to figure out, how do you convert this stinky gym into a chic, productive, beautiful space? And it took a ton of work, but it happened. And we were able to save some of the gym equipment and allocate some of our space to be an actual gym that's just this nice amenity for our members. And then she took 7,000 square feet of it and brought in a fully functioning, already operating daycare. So we have a daycare that's now operating in 7,000 square feet, and they give 5% discount to WorkHub members. So it's this really sweet partnership for us as well.
Yeah, to your point, you kind of nailed the co-location, like the use of an existing building, but also you've got the fitness amenity, the daycare amenity, all right there. And you have a full track inside, is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
My dream.
Yes, an indoor raised walking track. So people can take breaks, they listen to podcasts, they listen to your podcast too. We take the track. And that was one of the things that actually got us so pumped up and motivated when we were designing this space, is we gorged on your podcast. Like, thank God for your podcast. Like, everything we needed to know was, like, right there, one after the other. And we were just, like, listening constantly. And so I'm so grateful to everybody who's come on your show and all the advice and insight and ideas they provided, because it fed directly into WorkHub. We're so grateful.
Yeah, I'm grateful for the community that we have and for folks like you, because you, now only being a year into it, have learned so much yourself and have so much to share. So we have to put up pictures of your space because it also, it doesn't have windows. Is that right?
Yeah, we're very short on windows. We have two walls that are close to the front that have windows, but outside of that, we don't. Yeah. So we've had this challenge of trying to bring the outdoors in.
Right.
So we installed an indoor pergola. We have like a huge string tree that's on the wall and tons of succulents. And so that is one of our drawbacks, but at the same time, we've been able to make it work just because it's open space. It doesn't feel too dark either.
Right. I think your designer did a great job at overcoming the challenges. Like, you had a lot of cool things about the space, like the track, amazing. But that came with a trade-off of like, hey, there are no lights. And then I remember you trying to figure out power, like we spent and cell phone, right? Like those two, I say those not to pick on your challenges, but I'm sure there are people listening who are like, oh yeah, like, you know, I have to figure that out too, because you're in a gym and there's no power. There are no poles.
Well, and before that, it was a skateplex. So it was a roller skating rink. So we had these beautiful wood floors underneath all of the workout mats. And so trying to put electricity in the center of this very massive space, our builder did a really great job of putting in outlets and trying to hook that up so it made more functional for actual co-working space, you know, the space in and of itself. All the private offices and team suites luckily were already constructed.
Yeah.
So that conversion wasn't as difficult. However, it was mainly like the big open area, and the cafe area was also a huge demo for us.
Right. I mean, it's interesting that since it was a gym, that it had, how many private offices did it already have?
19.
Okay. And then is that all you add more, or is that what you have?
That's what we currently have. We have plans for expanding private office space if and when we need it.
Yep.
But we also have this huge corporate suite, which is full now too. Right. So,
yeah. I mean, that's the other reason I think you're just a really interesting example, because you've got the co-location of different amenities. You've got this big open space and this sort of challenge of getting power and, you know, self and just designing a space that works, you know, with no windows. And it does. It's amazing. Every time, whenever we see Hannah on her, when we do our monthly calls and she's on our laptop walking around, we're like, show us more. We want to see. And we were talking about your coffee bar. But right. So, but it is a good example. You already have 19 private spaces. Like, I talk to a lot of people who realize they want private spaces, but they're expensive to build. And so you sort of had that. And so sometimes I tell people like, look, you just need to wait until a space comes up that already has walls and electrical. Mm. And so you don't, that's totally starting from scratch in that sense, because it can really reduce your build out costs. And you guys may have had costs dealing with other challenges.
Oh,
and,
for sure.
You know, decorating the open space and adding power and that kind of thing. But you walked in with 19 private spaces to fill. Although Hannah would be, Work Hub would be one example of that's not what sold first for you. This is a little bit of a diversion, but yeah, talk about that process.
Oh my gosh. So everything and all the research that we did and even all the advice that we received,
yep,
and we said, when you open, your private offices are going to go first. So just be ready. And, you know, those are the biggest ROI is your private space.
Easy. Like, right. So, I mean, in your case, Lisa owns the building. And so you're, you know, you're just trying to cover, you know, the financing, the building or whatever it is. It's not, you know, a rent chunk, but right. That'll cover your nut for the month. You'll be in great shape. And also I definitely was in the camp of thinking you're in a smaller market. I was like, Hannah, your members are going to understand private offices. They might be confused about all this open space and what are they going to do there, but they will understand the private offices.
Yeah, which was not what happened.
Right.
So because we are not in a saturated market and co-working is very new to East Texas, people were a little more like dipping their toe in the water. So like they didn't mind a coffee shop membership. They didn't mind a flexi space membership, but they were not convinced about the private offices. And so they, because the thing is like everybody makes computations based on square foot, like a typical rent situation, the amenities and everything else. It's a much harder sell when people don't understand what co-working is and they feel like we're asking for more money. Like, they're like, man, I could get that same space in this barn off of this country road,
right,
you know, for like a quarter of the price. And I'm like, Yes, but, and I'm sure every community manager or operations manager has had this conversation a million times. We're like, yeah, but let me spell out to you all the other things you're not, that it's included in that price.
Get your own internet, get your own front desk staff, get your own trash removal.
Security, coffee, cleaning service, conference rooms. I mean, like all of it right there. And so once people started to understand, then it was like 6 or 9 months in. Because you remember, I emailed you and I was like, what are we doing wrong? These are not moving. And then it happened. And then it happened pretty quickly. And they started getting taken. Team suites came in. Bigger and larger teams, individuals. And that was such a huge, like, okay, great. We are, because like, if you don't see those filling up, it feels like you're doing something really wrong. But right. It just took time. And so I encourage anybody who's out there in new markets, just hang in there. It will happen.
Yeah. And now you're a year in and you have 19 offices filled and a corporate space, corporate team suite that's filled.
Yes.
And you're building up your open space memberships. What do you think was sort of the, do you think it just took time for people to like warm up, or what flipped the switch?
Well, I think it had to be the right members. Yeah. It was in people learning that we're available. You know, one of our favorite, okay, of course, everyone's amazing. One of our favorite clients is a real estate company, and they've been here for quite a while. They're building out their own building and needed a temporary space. And so now we're starting to see more inquiries in the real estate market because they just didn't know. Mm-hmm. They didn't know what we had available. And so I guess it's just more knowledge and getting exposure to the space, you know, and people have to come and have a good time here or see that this is a legitimate option. And so I guess it's just more exposure and giving it a chance and then realizing it is a win.
So there's so much to talk about here. Let's, before we sort of talk about some of your programming, let's talk about your coffee bar. I love your coffee bar. Every time I see it on social media, I think it, but I also think, like, again, you have this open space and, you know, the window, it's, but you've done some like really special things to, like, I would totally look forward to rolling into your coffee bar every morning and getting my, you know, your little cappuccino machine. But yeah. Talk about some of the little amenities like that.
Sure. So we have our hospitality hub that has this bar seats, and we have a partnership with Coffee City USA. They provide us with really amazing roast local coffee. And then we also have two Starbucks machines that Lisa owns, and they serve cold brew and hot brew. So our members can pay. It's great for them to sit with clients if they want to buy their client a latte or themselves. I mean, the drip coffee is delicious, but then to have that extra, like, kind of like more executive feel. Yeah. And so when people come into the space, number one, it looks great. But then also if they want to meet with a client and, you know, and get into, say, hey, let me get you a latte or, you know, a cappuccino or something, then, you know, that's just an extra level of excellence that we can allow our members to show to their clients and then also to serve our clients. So serve our members to make them feel more taken care of. But there's, you know, there's an ice machine and it's all open. So you can see it from anywhere you sit in the open areas. And lots of people like to stand at the bar, as use it as a stand-up desk as well. And it's just real pretty. And we have a little vending kiosk that, you know, has all kinds of little snacks for our members. And then we have two fridges where people can put their lunches and keep snacks and stuff. So it's really fluid and conducive to such a large group that we have.
Yeah, it's a great amenity. I think you're right, because it's sort of central and totally open. It just has that, like, really nice hospitality feel. Well, tell us a little bit about your members. Like, what do they do for work? You know, who are they?
Sure. Well, of course, our members are the best in the world, and that everybody else thinks that their members are amazing, but ours really are. We have such a diverse group of people. Everyone's like, well, what's your target market? And I'm like, it's literally everyone. Anyone who is looking to be part of a community or to be productive. So we've got people who are coming, who are in college. We've got retirees. We've got real estate agents, designers, writers, program developers, CRM management teams, educators, all kinds of people, and people launching companies, people who are trying to grow and morph into other things. So in our members of, especially like our charter members, have really set the tone, because before we opened, we had about, I want to say 13 or 15 charter members, and they were just like the most quality, amazing people. And they have, like, literally set the culture in motion and have been really key in making sure that people are connected and feel welcomed here and heard and part of a voice, you know, wanting to either make connections or make suggestions or even just, you know, you can say it's culture doesn't necessarily direct where you want it to go. Like, it has to be intentional. Mm-hmm. So when you lean into your members and give them the power to drive such a hospitable place, they have really carried it. And I've been so grateful for them and their compassion and their willingness to connect with other people and share experience and really make the space theirs. You know, it's not ours, it's theirs. So
I feel like that's something you've done. You've done so many things well, and that's an example. And I remember when you opened, you did your grand opening, you had a special lunch for your founding members. I mean, you've also treated them very well. And, you know, this curated group of folks that helped to shape your culture, which, you know, is so special, but you've also made them feel special and appreciated and welcomed.
Well, and that's the thing. We exist to serve them. I think that's a really hard shift to make when you're in a co-working space, is that, you know, you really are in the hospitality industry. Like, it's the amenities are great and all of that is really cool. But in the end, if people don't feel welcomed and like they matter, then you're really not, you're not getting it.
Yep.
Because you can go get a cheap office and not exist or not be known in any other space. That's the point. Like, you come here and you're building a community. You're building, even if you don't end up talking to anyone, the fact that you're here and surrounded by other people who are high performing or even just dreaming or trying to create, then, you know, that's the point. Like, I could not say more. Like, that's what's so amazing about co-working. It is very missional. Like, yeah. It's not just a money-making machine. Like, co-working stands to do something in America, and I'm not trying to sound utopian either, but I think that co-working stands to do something in America that is really extraordinary. Everyone's talking about how people are so much more lonely these days. Co-working is a solution to that. And I don't know that enough people have that kind of conversation about what it can do. And so for every space that is, you know, opening and growing, like, that's the anchor. Like, that's the sweet anchor where I think co-working can actually stand stronger than other industries, because you're actually talking about changing people's hearts and minds and visions and values. Like, you're pushing them to actually be recognized and stand where they typically are kind of isolated and alone.
And I think the thing too to remember is that that is not just for the freelancers, you know, the people who really are alone. I mean, Lisa had that insight, and she's a super successful mm-hmm. business person who's, you know, been running businesses for a long time, and she saw that, and maybe she yes. felt that herself. And right, to be, and to your point, I think we had this discussion on one of our recent calls, was, look, you may get 20% of your members that show up to events all the time, but the other 80% would, you know, is exactly what you just described. They're there because they still want to feel like they matter, and they want to be inspired, and they want that feeling of being some part of something bigger, even if they yeah. don't come to every lunch and learn and every Waffle Wednesday. And, you know, that just may not be their thing, but they're making yeah. that choice. You know, like, you, I think we forget that co-working is not for everyone. I walked my daughter to school this morning, and I was walking home listening to a podcast, and the podcast host has nothing to do with co-working. And he said he was in a co-working space and he left. He's like, you know, they're really expensive. And I was like, I did the same thing you did. What are you talking about? Like, I'm literally like talking out loud, like, well, now you have to get your own internet and your own, you know,
yes.
not to mention the, you know, but he obviously didn't value like the rest of it. You know, they're really big. He was just looking at the numbers. That's not only what it's about. Sometimes the math is favorable. It depends on what kind of real estate market you're in. But right, he just yeah. didn't care about the other stuff. And I thought,
you're well, totally right.
Okay, not everyone gets it yet. But right, I mean, we are doing something special. And in a community like Tyler, I mean, you're really bringing together the people who have that common interest.
Yeah.
What do you think your members feel is special about WorkHub?
Well, it's such a different feel for anything that exists in Tyler. There's nothing in Tyler. We have another co-working space, which is downtown. It is smaller, and that's actually the first co-working space that got started in Tyler. But there is just nothing like it in Tyler. I mean, when you say where you want to work and you want to show off a space where you work, if you want to be proud of where you spend most of your waking hours, that's what this place offers. You know, it's beautiful, it's unique. And you actually are making connections with really quality people. And we've tried to build a lot into our programming as well, where people can have the opportunity to make connections. So, you know, the fact that it's open to the community, a lot of our events are really open to the community because we want as many people to benefit from what we have to offer. And so we've made partnerships with lots of leadership organizations and professional organizations and host them so that there is this constant flow of excellence and opportunity coming through here. And people are feeling like you don't have to be a member just to feel like you're part of something big and enjoy the space as well.
And I assume that's part of your marketing plan also, just to get mm-hmm. people in the space and help them understand. How often do you do events that are open to the general public?
So when we first got started, this would be key for anyone who's getting ready to launch or just go ahead and blow it up on events. Like, the key is getting people in the door to see the space and understand what you're doing. So we've scaled back quite a bit. So now we're looking at anywhere from 4 to 6 events each month, where we were doing, at one point we had like 14 and it was bananas. So we were definitely trying to make sure that we keep the flow of people into the space and having different types of events. You know, we're still in the testing phase, so we're still trying to figure out like what works best for us. So yeah, right now we're about 4 to 6 events each month.
Which is still super consistent because that's, you know, roughly one a week, maybe a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
What are your favorite member events right now?
This is a huge shout out to Michael Everts in Atlanta, but we have this thing on Fridays at 3:30 called Beer 30, and it is so much fun. We serve beer, obviously, and wine, but we do serve
no
Cokes and water and no Miller Lite. We have a sponsor, a local brewery in town is our sponsor for Beer 30, True Vine Brewery. And so every Friday we pull out all kinds of drinks, alcoholic, non-alcoholic, and give people the opportunity just to stop and connect and swap stories. And then we've had some of the best conversations. Like, we were talking about like worst dates, worst jobs we've ever had. And that's just a whole other level of getting to know members that you don't often get to get that kind of deep. And that's not deep, but I mean, just to really get to know people. And it's just been really fun, and it's just easy, and it's on a Friday, and everybody's been working so hard, so it's a great time to break and actually get to know people on a different level. And so thanks to Michael. That was a great idea, and we're glad we did it.
How hard was it to secure a sponsorship for that event? I think people wonder about that all the time for folks that don't have that in place.
It took a while because we had to kind of prove that we were cool and legit. And Tyler, and because we're such a new business and a new space, I think it took a while for us to get some street cred before sponsors were like, okay, this place is legit and it's actually doing really well. And so True Vine also has an amazing culture, and they came and saw our space, and I think they recognized in us what they are cultivating in their culture as well, and they're very focused on growing community. So that resonated with them, and they wanted to be part of continuing to grow community in Tyler. So they were very quick to see the value and wanted to be a part of it. So we're super grateful to them.
What has, just kind of looking back since you're almost at a year, what has surprised you the most in your first year of launching a co-working space, besides how long it took you to sell your offices?
I mean, for us as a startup, it is so much work. I had no idea. I had visited, you know, Common Desk in Dallas and WeWork and Spaces, and, you know, they make it look so easy. I was like, oh, this isn't going to be that bad. And then we get in there. It is so much work. It is far more work than I ever could have imagined. And it's easier now that we have a staff and, you know, we kind of caught our groove, but that was the most surprising. And you think, okay, my specialty is in these areas and that's where I'm going to focus all of my energy. But when you're launching a co-working space, it's everything. I mean, you're doing social media marketing, maintenance, software integrations, cleaning up.
Right. We should talk about, you were in charge of the office R&D setup.
Oh, yeah.
Which may not have been your favorite project. But to your point, it's like, yeah, so maybe you feel like this is not my thing. But that's the hat I'm wearing.
Amazing. Yeah. It was just one of those like big hurdles for me that you just didn't know. You don't know until you get into it how many different angles you're going to have to attack and figure out and make it work for your space. And so, but again, back to you, and your startup school was incredible and prepped us for a lot of things we hadn't even thought of. And then also at the same time, we needed ideas. And my recommendation would be, especially for people who are getting ready to launch, like, you're going to have so many amazing ideas, especially that you get from your podcasts and flight groups, and like, keep them written down, and you probably will get to execute on even half of them your first year, but they're going to come up. And as you get more bandwidth, you're going to get to come back to those ideas and keep and try them out and see if it works for your space. And man, we were just really lucky. Lisa's such a forward thinker, and the fact that she saw the value in what you were doing and signed up for that, I was just really grateful, you know, because when you're pinching pennies,
right?
You know, you think, oh, we don't need that, we can figure it out ourselves. Yeah. But it was pivotal. It was pivotal in our development.
Good. Yes. Thank you for the shout out. So we should mention, I don't think we did, your whole space is 36,000 square feet?
35.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's a big space. Yeah. Like, when you talk about how much work, like, not only were you doing everything for the first time, but that's just a lot of space to manage. A lot of meeting rooms, a lot of, you know, yeah, a lot of moving parts.
Yes.
What does your team look like now?
So we have an events manager, we have a hospitality host, we just hired a CEO. WorkHub has been asked many times since we opened if we were a franchise, if we were going to franchise. And so I think the owners are, you know, Lisa and Michael are interested in exploring that avenue. So they've brought on Yaziri Osorieta to push that forward. And so I'm just super pumped. We have such a cool team, and our hospitality host is awesome. And our events manager, because events ended up being, we didn't realize how much ROI was in events initially. We knew it would help, would be strong, but it's been very strong because our space is so big. So we get to have really big parties here and people have a really good time. Especially when you got a pergola, an indoor pergola with all that, you know, Edison bulbs hanging down from the rafters. It's really fun.
And you have great event seating. I mean, you built that in. You definitely made some investment in setting up the space to be a great place to host.
But again, that was part of it being the gym. You know, we have that huge presentation hub. If you guys want to go online, we have like a virtual tour and you can see what I'm talking about. Well, it's very Google-esque, but it was these huge riser seating, stadium seating that used to be, that people used to run up and do exercises. And so that's been converted into a stadium seating with a huge 11-foot screen, and there's tons of pillows and cushions. And so it's great for events and trainings and fundraisers. Lots of people use it for really fun things.
It can be scary, I think, to dedicate event space. But when people walk in and they don't have to envision like, oh, if I moved all the desks and chairs, which a lot of us do, and there's nothing wrong with that to make it flexible. But you, again, just sort of a special part of taking on a space that was unique is you had that to work with. And when you look at it, you're like, clearly amazing event happening here.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and it's also a huge driver for increasing your memberships. Like, you want to get exposure to your space. And if it's beautiful and it's conducive to events, like, blow it up. And like, 1 month we just were blown away. 1 month we had like $10,000 in just event money coming in, which is huge. And just being able to go, okay, this could be another way, one, we get exposure and allow people to experience the space, increase memberships, but then also serve our community as an option, another more affordable option to, you know, host all kinds of learning moments here in Tyler.
We've talked about some of the exciting things. What are some of your highlights from the last year?
We have one member who had been working remote for about 17 years. And she's just an incredible person and didn't realize what co-working was going to do for her. And she's just to see her transformation as an individual, but then also seeing how she has also caused this really unique thing to happen amongst members and hearing her story, like, that has really meant a lot to me, to see people like her who were isolated and didn't feel like they had a community or a connection or even anyone in their industry that even cared about what they were doing, and to come to a space like this, the mission that we started off with, being known and what you do matters, resonating and changing her. And I mean, for her to feel more joy and more contentment in her own life, I'm like, man, that makes all the work so sweet. And I could never have imagined that it would have had that deep of an effect on somebody. So just seeing like the personal transformations of our members has been amazing.
And even just some of the, even in the Tyler community, like somebody wanted to have a wedding reception here. I'm like, are you kidding?
I was wondering, I was like, I wonder if they're going to have any weddings. I love that.
It's just funny what people see. And so it's been good. I guess just the relationships for me, really, just the coolest. I am really connected in Tyler, but after working here, this is just, it's given me a whole new group of people that I could have never have imagined I would get to know. And that has been, I didn't realize how rich that was going to be.
That could be. I think that's one of the special things about a city the size of Tyler is, you know, there's all these special people sort of hiding out in their own nooks and crannies. And when you create a place where they can come together and people like you and your team that can facilitate that, it's super special.
Thanks. I couldn't agree more.
So what advice would you give to anyone listening to help them prepare for launching and for succeeding in their first year?
Research as much as possible. Visit as many co-working spaces as possible. You should like sneak up on them. Don't tell them what you're doing and get the experience of trying to become a member. How do they do their tours? How do they follow up? How do they treat people? That was probably one of the most rich learning grounds for me, is getting to taste all these other spaces and seeing, oh my gosh, that's what that could look like. Man, if I don't give them this kind of eye contact, that's what that feels like when you're trying to come into a space like this. And then also every idea, like write it down. It might be a stinky idea in the first year, but it might be a great idea for the next year. And then leaning into the relationship building with your members. And you guys talked a lot about charter members and like pre-selling, but I think we got such great advice on like cultivating, getting those initial people, leaning into them and saying, you guys are the trendsetters. You guys are the ones that, you know, had faith in this space before it got started, and you matter, and like pouring into them. So then they just overflow and pour into everyone else that comes into the space. Like, and serving, I mean, being servant leaders is just a big one. And I think it's hard when you're trying to, you know, it is in the end, you do want to make sure that you're making money and that it's very professional. But I mean, if you're going to treat your members, like, get prepared and find people who want to serve other people.
Right.
Like people who care about other
people. Yeah.
Yes. Who don't mind connecting, who don't mind like sitting in the nitty gritty with somebody who's having a really hard day. And if, you know, you might have really good strategy people who are good at growing businesses, but you really need to hire people who care about others. I mean, that's
essential.
We'll
say yes, right? Like,
yes.
I think about that often. It's like, you know, those sort of that customer is always right. It is, you have to have the right personality for that to want to say yes when people ask for things. Because,
yes.
I mean, that's clearly part of your culture and not part of everybody's culture that runs a space, but...
Well, at least there was like the one who like was driving that from the get-go. I mean, it was a mental jump for me, even though I'm really people-oriented and I love serving others. But when you really get into the hospitality business, like there is a certain level of mental adjustment you need to make. Like you got to get, okay, yes, I'm going to do that. I'm going to serve this person. And that's what draws people back, is the experience that they had in the space. Because your amenities and your looks are nothing if people don't feel cared for.
Totally. Yep. Any other tips?
Join the GWA and listen to your podcast. If you don't do that, you will fail. Kidding. Not kidding.
What are you looking forward to in year two?
Ooh, hitting all of our growth goals. Man, that would just be incredible to be at max capacity by our second year. Look, and then if we get to franchise and looking at what that could possibly be, is having another work hub open here in East Texas would be incredible. And also, I would love to see if there's some more funky events we could host and people say, oh my gosh, that happened at work hub. Because we've had some like national simulcasts that have happened here, but those aren't super cool. But I would love to see some really radical events happen here that stick into the community memories.
Very cool. And do you feel like you're sort of in that mind space where you have a little room to like really focus on your goals and your systems and kind of really start rolling? Yeah.
Yeah. I think I feel so more now, because we were so slim staffed for a long time that there was just no space to really have cast vision and look ahead, that we were just trying to make sure we stayed above water. But now that we have a staff and we're starting to feel our flow and our strengths, and that feels a little more attainable. Yeah. So it's good. It's exciting.
Yeah. I think that's an important thing to remember. The first year can just be really heads down, like sorting through everything and how to do it and just really getting things nailed down and shaping the right experience. But you'll, at some point you'll come out of that and have a little
right.
room.
Well, and I can't tell you how, like, especially when you're in front of the members all the time, and I couldn't even tell you how many times, like, people are like, have you guys thought about, could we have, and I've just been like,
you're like, I need time to go to the
bathroom. More thing.
No, I have not. I'm just,
and they're good ideas, but it's really hard because you're just like, is it not enough?
Right, totally.
But it is, and they're good ideas, and they do add value. It's just, it's hard when you're drinking from a fountain, you know, or a water hose. What is the word? You're drinking from a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And still trying to absorb ideas, and they are good ideas. It's just, go ahead and write them down.
Right.
You can circle back when you got more bandwidth. It's great.
I will make a note of that, totally.
Yes. Thank you.
I have not mentioned yet, and I want to. I'll put your social accounts in the show notes, but you guys do such an amazing job with your social media. I mean, part of it's because I love to see your space, but you are like the queen of Facebook Lives and really like drawing people into the space. You've been featuring members. So it's, you just are really, I feel like, authentic and really giving people a window into what happens at Work Hub.
Thank you. That's really generous.
I think I mentioned this in the, we have an Everything Coworking Facebook group, and I think I've mentioned you a couple of times in there, but for people who are struggling with what content, and I mean, you have some good material to work with because you have
some great members. Yeah.
And, yeah. But everybody has, to your point, everybody has great members. So,
yes.
Well, I've so enjoyed watching your journey this year, and I'm so impressed with what your team is creating. And I'm bummed that I can't make it to your anniversary party since I will be
on
a plane.
Well, I'm sure we'll be doing some live and some take some videos and stuff, and we'll be sure. But everybody's invited. Everyone's invited to our 1 year anniversary party. If you guys happen to be in the East Texas area, and it'll be great. We're having odd music. And remember, we talked about this. We were talking about, like, should we do something big? And just to continue the energy and the exposure to the space, we said, you know what? Tyler has really come alongside of us, and we want to celebrate and not only like keep the exposure to the space, but also say thank you to our community for being part of our growth. And so it's just, it's a sweet thing that we get to be at this point.
And that's how you roll in Texas.
That's
Everything's
right.
A little bigger.
Everything's bigger in Texas.
Awesome. Hannah, thank you for spending time today and sharing your learnings and experience from your first year.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.